All right. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in some awesome worship. That was good. Loved hanging with you guys and worshiping. This has been a good week. I'm rested and I'm ready to go. I hope that you're ready for your rec later on. You're ready for lunch and then some free time. I was beating some people in basketball yesterday, like I said, so I'll give you guys a break today. I won't play so that other people can win on the courts today and not just me. Nah, I'm just kidding. As I was thinking about last night and our talk we had, I was thinking of the word explode that we talked about, you know, exploding grace out of our life. And it made me think of a balloon, you know, of a pop in a bubble with some gum. No, it made me think of how much I love fireworks, guys. Do you guys ever use or get to enjoy fireworks? You ever seen fireworks? Like, you know, like 4th of July, some other holidays, you know, New Year's a lot of times, you know. Yeah, that what you just said, yeah. Well, see, I love fireworks, and growing up, we had some property out by the lake where we had lots of fireworks, and then we had this dog that was crazy. Anybody have a dog? I have a dog that I love. We had a dog growing up, Chocolate Lab. His name was Sport because we love sports, and he would try to eat the fireworks. It was the craziest thing. I've never seen anything like it. We would have to hold him back from trying to eat the fireworks. Like, you would light off like an artillery shell or a bottle rocket or some fireworks, and he would go over and he would try to eat them. And it would hurt him so bad, but he would keep doing it. I do not know why. It was the weirdest thing. So if you have a dog, make sure that he doesn't eat fireworks, especially if they've been lit by fire and they're about to explode. But I hope that you've had some time to meditate and let that word explode and let the idea of grace linger upon you. And I wonder how that's going so far today. I wonder if your life is full of grace. I wonder if you've had to make any decisions that have been based out of that, or any tough choices so far, or if you found yourself being selfish today at breakfast. I let somebody have the last hash browns instead of me. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. I wasn't going to call you out because, you know, like, anyways. Yeah, that's right. Well, every time they would put the hash browns out, like, new lines would form, you know, and people were, like, getting pushed down, shoved around, and I had, like, my arm in, like, an arm lock. Some guy was trying to wrestle me down for them. But I got to exercise grace, and I got to be full of it and give some away, explode it out, and give away the hash browns. And they were good, weren't they? I didn't have any of them. They looked good. I didn't have any. I bet they were so good. I bet they were. Maybe tomorrow I'll get some hash browns. They're not good for me anyways. I had strawberries instead. But I wonder how that is going with you. I want to look here in chapter 32 of Genesis as we're talking about decisions and grace and wrestling with that. And sometimes it is tough to make tough choices. I want us to look at an incredible story and an incredible story that is true in Scripture. When I work with young children, I always tell them, I say, if it's in the Bible, then we know it's, and they always say, true. And I'm always reminding them that if it's in the Bible, we know it's true. It is, and the Word of God is true, and it is true for our soul, and it is good for us. And this is a crazy story that every time I read it, and every time I think about it, I think that is just, how could that even be true? But it is, and I want us to spend some time here. Let me read it for us as we get into this story. You have Jacob is the character here, and the title on top of my passage here is Jacob Wrestles with God. One time I wrestled a junior high boy, but I didn't know we were wrestling until after we started. It was a sneak attack. Anybody ever been sneak attacked during wrestling? And he put me in a chokehold. And I remember some of my last thoughts before almost fading away in this chokehold were, I cannot let a junior hire defeat me. It was the only motivation that I had. And so I remember I'm like, seriously, he is choking me out, okay? And he is going to the death on this one, okay? And everyone is chanting for him. It's sick. I'm like, where are my friends at this time? Where is my friend with like a taser or a stun gun or something. One of those cattle prods to get him off of me. And I remember some of my last thoughts were, I cannot be beat by this junior hire. He was like a pretty good-sized junior hire. He was bigger than me, but it didn't matter. And so I just held my breath for a few seconds, took like all the strength I had, and I dug into it with my little nails that I did have. I dug into his skin, and I flung him off of me, and I swung him on the ground, and then I stood there and go, it was really because I was just couldn't breathe. It wasn't really that intense. I was just about to die, you know? And he just laid there looking up at me, and I just pointed at him and just walked away. And everyone was like, dang. And like nobody wanted to wrestle me, but like it was so pure luck for me. It was just like, it could have went either way. You know what? He probably should have won. The Lord just strengthened my bones in that moment and I won. But wrestling, I don't know if you're a good wrestler or if you're not. That's one of my few wrestling experiences. I'm a pretty terrible wrestler. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I barely defeated a junior high boy. And Jacob is about to wrestle with God. Here's what it says, starting in verse 23. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and man and prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. I'm picturing this wrestling match with Jacob, and it's taking place, and they're wrestling all through the night. For hours upon hours. I was reading a text earlier in scripture in Galatians when I was in the room. You guys were in your workshops, and I was hearing people above my room, and it was like they were wrestling so loud. Guys, if you're like in that hangout area, just know that I'm under you, and it sounds like a tornado is up there. I don't know why it is so loud. The ceilings are so thin, and I was hearing it, and I was like, they're wrestling, and I was thinking about teaching this text, and I personally was just laying there. I was on my bed, and I was just wrestling with some deep things. And I'm imagining physically and emotionally and spiritually just the toll of wrestling all through the night. Not with the junior high boy, but with the Spirit of God. I wonder what things it is that God has set out for you that you would wrestle with. See, here's the problem is so many times when I'm wrestling and when I'm in something tough, right? And you can imagine how tough it was. His hip was put out of joint and he's fighting through and he's wrestling. The problem is usually if I'm being honest, when I'm wrestling with something, I instantly start thinking, God cannot be in this because this is too hard. God must not be here because this is too much. And so many times when I can't see, I'm feeling like I'm being overwhelmed by fear, by anxiety, by shame, by guilt, by frustration, by just the heaviness of life, by the expectations of people, living up to a certain way. Because I'm Pastor Mac and I have to be a certain way. I was at a camp last week and I went swimming. And I was walking up from the pool And everybody kept saying, Mac, you look different. You look different. You look different. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Everyone kept saying I look different. I'm like, I just went swimming. Like, this is nothing. Like, I was wearing the same clothes I was wearing earlier because I was just wearing these. I just went swimming in it. No big deal. And finally, someone came up to me, and they're like, hey, everyone's saying you look different. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Why are they saying that? And they said, it's because your hair is messy. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And like, well, no one's ever seen you with your hair messy before. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, like, and my hair was just kind of like, it was just kind of light, and just like the wind had blown it in the wind. It was just messy. And I'm like, that is so weird. Because people have an expectation. And when I didn't meet the expectation, all of a sudden for them it was weird. There's an expectation that your parents and that your friends and that your school and that your counselors and that yourself has placed on you. And when you wrestle with that, so many times you think, God, you must not be in this because I'm wrestling and it's hard and I can't see what you're trying to do. And because I'm a human and I'm sinful, when I think that I can't see, I assume that I'm in the dark. Right? If you can't see, you must be in the dark. So you should turn the lights on so you can see. I was thinking about this concept, and I was wondering if perhaps so many times we think that God isn't with us and that we're wrestling and we're alone in it. We're the only ones dealing with this. We're the only ones struggling with this. We're the only ones feeling this way. There must not be a solution. Where is God in this? God, where are you in this? And we feel like we're in the dark. But really, God is so present in the situation that the light is so bright. Anybody ever just experienced a light so bright? It blinds you. Like you walk outside, you look up at the sky, you look up at the sun, it just blinds you. And for a moment, you can't see. The interesting thing is that if it's so dark, if it's too dark, you can't see. And if it's too bright, you can't see. And so many times God has placed something in us to wrestle with. God has come upon us to wrestle with him in an issue. But we turn our backs on God because we think we're alone. And we're wrestling in the dark. But really, just like with Jacob, God is right there wrestling with him. God planned that it would happen. What I've learned is whether my actions and my own stupidity and foolishness have brought sin into my life, whether that's the case, or whether God has brought a test or a struggle into my life, that both, he uses both to sharpen me. And this word we used earlier in some of our talks, to make me that I would be his craftsmanship, that I would be his workmanship. To polish me. That identity issue that you've been wrestling with, it's not an accident. God placed that in you. The stereotype or the expectation that you're trying to live up to, that's not an accident. God knows that's there. He is planning that you wrestle with that. That guilt and shame that you felt, that you feel, that you shouldn't feel, God knows that you feel it. He plans that you wrestle with it. But just like in my striving against this junior high boy wrestling, and even in a stronger way, Jacob wrestling here with God, there were some things that came with it. It wasn't easy. You don't read the story and you see, oh man, this seemed like a walk in the park, just another good old day. Broken hip, nothing like that. Woo! That's not what you read the story and think. I read the story and I'm like, wow, you know what? Jacob was resilient. And it was intense for him. It was really hard. I read the story and I pull out four principles that I see in there that I think are so that can be applied to our life right now, today, while we're at camp, and applied to our life as we leave. Applied to our life all through the summer, and applied to our life next fall as we start school or work, whatever it is God has called us to do. Here's the first one that I see. Verse 23 and verse 24. He made time to meet with God. He made time to meet with God. He prepared for it. Here's what it says. He took all that he had, okay? So he took his servants, he took his wives, he took his children, he took his stuff, he took his oxen, everything that's traveling with him, and he sent everything else across, away from him. It would be like this. He took his textbooks, he took his iPhone, he took the arguments that are playing in his head, he took the earphones, he took the food, he took the relationships, he took all of that he had, and for a not forever, but for a moment, he set it on the other side of the river. Because he had a purpose and an intent, and his purpose and his intent was to take time to meet with God. Because there was an issue that needed to be dealt with. But so many times there's issues that are racing all about our life and they're stirring within us and we're thinking this and we're thinking that, but we never take the time to wrestle through them. How many hours a week do you spend texting, talking with friends on social media? How many hours a week do you spend watching videos and playing games? You know, I found this really interesting thing on my iPhone here. If you go into the settings under general on my iPhone and you look up usage and the battery on there, you can go in there and you can see how Max spends his time on his iPhone. You can see how much time I spend talking on the phone and answering emails and listening to Spotify and texting. That was the deflating one. How many hours I spend texting. How many hours you spend practicing a sport, practicing music, an extracurricular activity. All of these things you have made choices in your life to set aside time for. But are you setting aside time for God? Jacob was. But it wasn't easy for him. He had to send everything else across so that he could make time for God. The next one I see here in verse 25 and verse 31, it was costly for him to meet with God. It was costly. Verse 25, it says this. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. In verse 31, it said, the sun rose upon him, and he was limping because of his hip. It was costly. It wasn't free. It was an effort that had to take place. Because here's what I've learned. When you make a decision to say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So I made a decision to be here this week with you guys. And I love the decision that I made. I'm excited to be here, and I love teaching and looking through and exploring God's word with you guys. I love worshiping with you. But here's the deal. It's costly for me because I miss my wife. And I haven't seen her. And the whole last week, I missed my wife. We saw each other just for a few days. And I miss my sweet dog, Harley. I miss my family. And I miss my sister and her newborn baby. I miss them. I miss my home and I miss my bed. When I did that, Jesus, what he did was he began to supernaturally work on this bed over here and make it better for my back. Oh, don't trip and die. It's costly, but it's worth it. To make a decision to sit here and say, I have homework to do, I have things to do, I have chores to do, I have relationships to be involved in, but I'm going to set them aside. It is a costly decision, and I'm going to focus and spend time on God. It's not easy. As my mom said, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Everyone's not doing it. But the third principle, verse 28. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. He was changed. He made time to meet God. It was a costly decision, but he was changed because of it. I wonder what change inside of you is longing, as Scripture says, is groaning to take place. But it has no possibility because you haven't allowed it. You haven't exposed the lies that are pushing you down for no reason. I wonder what changed this week when you came to camp. There was a change that God wanted to make inside your heart and inside your mind, inside your spirit, that he intended for you and he planned for you, because he planned that when you go back home, he would use you in a new and different and fresh way, and your mindset would be altered even just a tiny bit, that you would attack life and you would seek after him in a greater way. But even this week, have you made time for him? Last week, before you came, did you make time for him? Next week when you go home, will you adjust your habits and your ritual and your precious schedule to make time for him? Verse 32 reads this. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat of the thigh that is on the hip socket. Because of that story. Because of this story, people decided to live different. They changed the way they eat because of this story. So yes, it takes time. And yes, it will be costly to meet with God. And there are times where it will be a wrestle. And it will be a struggle. But if you are willing, if you are willing like I am, to be changed, it will be so worth it. And the change will become even more worth it as you see the people around you be changed because of what God is doing in your life. When you go home, you will have an opportunity to share even the smallest of thing that God has done to the largest of thing that he has done in your heart. Those of you that responded last night, and you went and found someone and you prayed with them and they prayed over you, you have an opportunity to go back and to say, listen, let me tell you what happened at camp. God did something in my heart. I can't explain it all, or maybe I can. I can't know it all, or maybe I can. But here's the deal. I went to someone and they prayed over me. And after that, my spirit was free. And when you express those things and when you share those things, the people around you are changed. The people around Jacob were changed. So I pray over you. My heart is with you today. I struggle and I wrestle with you. Because God wants to meet with you today and tomorrow and the next day. And what he has placed in you, or what you have brought yourself to that you are wrestling with, God wants to use it that you might meet him face to face, that he might touch you and change you, that you might walk away different, that other people might see it and want to be different too. Be changed by that. So I challenge you. I challenge you to stand in the midst of the wrestling and in the midst of the struggle. Knowing that God is using it to sand away or polish away or carve away things that are in you that have no place, that you might be more like him. That you too might share the gospel with your neighbor. They might accept Christ. That was in 2004, 2005 that I had that conversation with him. And a week later, out of the blue, George, my next door neighbor, he moved away. Didn't even get to say bye to him. We've been friends for a whole year. Really close friends. I gave him my Bible after he accepted Christ. I gave it to him. I said, hey, you got to take this. A week later, out of the blue, moved back to California. Didn't have his phone number, had a new address, everything. I had no way to get a hold of him. My heart was so broken. I just hoped and I prayed for him. I didn't know what else to do. George messages me on Facebook. Hey, man, I'm living in California. You know what? Told me some stuff has happened in his life and it's pretty rough and things that are going on. But you know what he said? He goes, I never have forgot our conversation. And began to unfold for me how the Lord has seen him through all of these hardships. And how he's continuing to do everything he can to place his faith in God. And how hard it's been, but how good it's been. And I read it, and my eyes just like they teared up because I thought, God, you used me, and I'm not worthy, I'm not smart, and you used me. He wants to use you like that. Let me pray that he would, and I'm gonna have the band come up, lead us in some response. I pray during that response that you'd remember those four things, that you wrote them down, to make time to meet with God, to know that it is costly to meet with God, to know that you are changed when you meet with God, and that others will be changed because of what God is doing in you. One of my favorite things to do in worship is to stand just with my eyes closed and my hands lifted straight up. And like, whether I do it actually out loud or whether I do it in my head, just to proclaim to God that he is the Lord over everything. And I'll say to him, God, no matter what is happening right now, no matter I have the weight of these struggles and these issues and these thoughts on my mind, and people are griping at me via email about they don't like my decisions that I made, and people are texting me that I'm doing the wrong thing, and I feel pressure and I feel guilt and I feel shame. But my favorite thing to do is to stand amidst all of that and declare that he is Lord, and that I lay it all at his feet and thank him that I get to worship him. Would you do that? Would you worship with me? Let me pray. God, you're good. Ignite our hearts to be for you, to spend time with you, to wrestle through until we have seen your face. We pray this in your name. Amen.